Fear is one of those things that we all deal with, and I'm going to talk about fear over the next couple of weeks. And I've identified several things that we deal with. Now, we can have fun with it. I've heard a lot of messages on fear where you begin with all the fun phobias and fear of spiders and all that, but we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about some very specific, very real fears that we all deal with. But first, let's talk about, just for a moment, where fear comes from. Let me set up something real quick. I'm going to show you a video in a moment, and hopefully you connect with it. But just a little bit about me. I am severely afraid of heights. This is actually a little bit of a challenge. Right here, as a matter of fact. If I was to go up and try and change one of these light bulbs, well, trust me, I wouldn't. I'd call Pastor James because he's taller and not afraid of ladders. And I've walked in here a few times. I think you were standing on the top ladder where it says, do not stand. But anyway, it's another story. Don't listen to the directions. But I don't like heights. Not a big fan of heights. And the other thing about me that you need to know as I was setting up this video is when I get nervous, like right now, even I talk a lot and I just throw a lot of words in there. I just keep throwing words out because I just get nervous. And but then I also smile a lot. Like when I was in Little League and I would strike a kid out, I would get nervous for the kid because he struck out and I just smile. Of course, they always thought I was showing him up, but I was just nervous. It was just this nervous. I'm the guy that might break out giggling at a funeral. I'm just saying. Not because anything's funny. I just get nervous. It's just one of those things. So when I'm nervous, I talk a lot. But when I'm dealing with fear, I also want to, it's a mechanism that I have. Well, just about back in August, late August, my wife and I went on a little vacation. And before I had a chance to say, to realize what I'd said yes to, and by the way, it wasn't my wife that talked me into it. She reminded me this was my idea from the beginning. But the guy walked up and asked me a question, and I said yes. And before I had a chance to realize what I'd said yes to, I was doing this right here.
Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, don't let fear control you in your life. All I know is I can't even climb up an 8-foot ladder without freaking out. And, well, here I am. I think my wife is down there somewhere on that boat. I don't know if I can even get the shot. But I'm definitely amazed. Freaking out a little bit on the inside, but completely amazed at the same time. So, listen, God is good. God is love. Nothing to fear, but fear itself. See you later.
Yeah. So, there is a reward to facing your fears sometimes. I'm not sure what the reward was there. All I need you to know about that particular video, by the way, is that was as calm as I was because I had something else to focus on, which is kind of the point. When we're dealing with loneliness, sometimes we'll distract ourselves. When we're dealing with the fear, we'll sometimes distract ourselves so we don't have to deal with the real issue. Because right, quite frankly, as soon as I stopped recording, and by the way, I've had several people that have seen that video going, you were recording with your phone in your hand? What if you'd have dropped it? I could care less. Some of you thought about that, exactly. You were like, oh, he's going to drop his phone. All I know is as soon as I turned the phone off, the nerves went, I'm looking at the knots and the carabiners. I'm like, well, is that thing going to hold me? Well, how big was the last person that was on this thing? They were bigger than me. I mean, I was looking, I'm freaking out. And I was so grateful to get all the way down. And then I was even, as scared as I was more than happy to send my wife up right after me. See you later. Fear is something that we face. From the very beginning of time to set up this whole series, for the very beginning of time, recall the first things that Adam and Eve did after they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, that when they heard the sound of God in the garden, they hid themselves from God. And when God inquired about this, Adam answered, I heard your voice, and I was afraid. The very first thing that Satan throws at humankind was fear and shame. One of the greatest passages about love in all of God's Word is found in 1 John and chapter 4. Here's what it says. Dear friends, let us, that's me, and that's you. I'm an us. Anybody else an us? Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Everybody say that together. God is love. It's not something he has, because he does have love. It's not something that, you know, he possesses for a time and he owns it. He's a limitless supply. God is love. It's not just a characteristic. It's his character. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Now watch this. After this amazing explanation where love comes from, like a laser beam, John focuses the primary thing that love drives away. So love is important, but here's what love does for us. He says there's no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear and love, literally, because of what John is saying here, but the reality, are polar opposites. The story of Satan's first attack on the human race and the fact that John pits fear as the primary opposite of love, it's the dominant characteristic of God, obviously. But it ought to tell us that one of the things that believers deal with from time to time is fear. Fear is a real deal. The good news is that before John polarized the love of God and the fear that comes from Satan, he sets his remarks up by saying this: we are from God. We will overcome this fear because the one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. We're of God. Church, we're of God. We can overcome whatever fears we're dealing with, but we overcome them through the Word. I stand your love. I'm telling you right now, that song is in my heart all week. I hope it's like an earworm for you. I want to talk about a lot of different fears, but the first one I want to talk about today is the fear of being alone. Anybody ever had the fear of being alone? Sometimes I have the fear of not being alone. Some of you can relate to that. See, the bottom line is if we can overcome Satan's nuclear option of fear, we can enjoy a peace that God has for us in our lives. Let's jump into this fear of being alone. It's one of the biggest fears that people wrestle with. And before I go too far into that, but how to overcome the fear, some specifics on that. Let's look at where this actually, or what happens with this fear when it comes our way. What happens many times when fear comes our way, or specifically the fear of loneliness, is we implement coping mechanisms. We've got tools that we throw into place so that we don't have to deal with the loneliness. We implement human responses. Maybe they're natural human responses. Maybe they're so natural that you'll get a whole bunch of people that agree with you that that's the proper response to your loneliness. A couple of examples, perhaps, maybe of how we will tend to, rather than get alone with God or be alone with God or deal with loneliness in our lives, we'll implement other things to try and fill it up as a distraction. For example, are you able to sit quiet in your house without the TV on? Without any kind of noise? Some people cannot handle silence. Amen? They say silence is gold and duct tape is silver. Those of you that have children know exactly what I'm speaking of. Are you able to not be around people for a while, or have you just filled your schedule up with so much busyness that you don't have to be alone? You don't have to deal with loneliness. Are the current friends that you have in your life spiritually helping fill you up and lift you up, or are they dragging you down? Sometimes we deal with, when we come to Christ, many times we deal with a concept of loneliness because we're afraid we've got to leave our party friends behind. Who's going to want to hang out with me now? Well, lift up Jesus and none of your party friends are going to hang out with you until you give them the love of God in their lives. Worse yet, many times we'll settle into a dysfunctional relationship out of fear. Because we think the ultimate consequence is I'm going to be stuck all by myself. I'm all alone. Sorry, Shrek. We'll be stuck. And so we'll do things. We'll enter into a dysfunctional relationship out of fear that we're going to be all alone. And we'll settle for that thing. And the fear of being alone causes us to stay in a situation that we absolutely know is not right. But we've accepted it as a lesser evil because of our fear of being alone. I dealt with so many people as a pastor in that situation. If you're single, are you single here? And you want to just kind of help God out? Hookabrotherup.com. It's not a website. I'm just saying, like, it should be. Or are you willing to wait for God to bring the right person into your life? If you're married, do you enjoy spending a little bit of time by yourself? Married people all said, yes. Every once in a while, it's just wonderful. I love Mondays because my wife goes to work and I don't. She goes, what do you need today? I'm like, this? Sometimes it's just nice to do that. Amen. But what happens many times because of our fear of loneliness or dealing with the consequences of loneliness, that we struggle with that fear of being alone, we implement these coping mechanisms. And those coping mechanisms might be holding you back from the very thing that God wants to lead you into. Now, don't get me wrong. An empty apartment and the remote control all to myself is a wonderful thing once in a while. To be able to get alone with the Lord from time to time. My favorite thing to do when I want to get alone with the Lord is get on my motorcycle and ride. I turn some worship music on and I just get alone with God. But understand this. If you struggle with loneliness, there's something a lot worse than the feeling of loneliness. Let me give it to you. It's probably the key to my whole message. And that is this. The worst thing than a fear of loneliness is compromising and staying so busy that God can't even break into your private world and direct you and lead you into the truth that He wants to lead you into. The worst thing about a worst thing than just being lonely is just push, because when we're lonely, we push God away as well. Leave me alone. It's a human reflex that we have many times. We push it away. We start filling our schedule with busyness. But what happens is when we do that, we can't grow spiritually. We just stay so busy that busyness just causes going in circles and we're not really moving forward and advancing in God. That's not what God wants for our lives. Now, I know that the fear of loneliness will attack every one of us in unique ways. Like you young people in this room, you might feel loneliness in one way. You might feel it a lot differently than maybe an older person who's just lost a spouse after 60 years of marriage. It's a different feeling of loneliness. Hello? Or your marriage has fallen apart, or someone has recently moved away that was really close with you, and now you're feeling that feeling of alone. We all deal with those kinds of things in our lives. And the enemy will attack us in a very unique way with our loneliness. And so let me say this. It's not a one-size-fits-all answer that I'm about to give you. A lot of sermons will be that way. It'd be like, do this, A plus B equals C. But I know this, all of your lonelinesses are all slightly different. They're a little bit different, but I know this, God can fix every one of them. He's more than enough. He's the great I am, and He is I am what you need today for your loneliness. Here's some things that we can do to help us with our loneliness. Rather than pick unhealthy things, rather than pick things to fill our lives up, to get so busy that we don't have to deal with loneliness, let's start with number one, and that's this. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're here today, you don't know God as your Savior and your Lord, that's the very first step. Father, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I don't want to be alone. It's the first step. But a lot of times, we only take the first step. We allow Jesus to come into our lives, and now we feel like, hey, we're in the club now. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to go any further. But that's not what God wants for us. It starts with us asking Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. But how many of you know God doesn't want to just be invited in the front door? He actually wants to come on in. See, we're only guilty of letting God in the foyer and in the special guest living room that no one is allowed to walk into. Right? You know what I'm talking about? There's plastic on the couches. So I grew up with that anyway. We ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, and what He does is He wants to move in our world. Ah, that's part of the fear of loneliness. Because if we get alone, God might speak to us. He might begin to work on us. And so it's easier to just stay super busy. Let's just keep God out of everything. We'll just stay busy. We'll just keep talking. We keep busy. And even doing busy church, we can stay busy doing church stuff. Just doing, you know, it's all in the name of good. It's all good. Good, good, good. It's all good stuff. But what if it's not God? It's good, but it's not exactly what God wants you to be doing. We've got to take time to listen to the Lord and get along with the Lord. The only way to grow in our relationship with God is to embrace being alone with God. So if you're dealing with a fear of loneliness, the one thing you don't want to do is push God away, because He wants to invade your world. He wants to be a part of your world. Can I be honest with you? I've discovered that being alone with God is not always an easy thing. It's not nearly as gentle or peaceful as some of the worship songs we sing. Oh, it's wonderful to be in your presence. I mean, you know, God goes to work when we get along with him. Yeah, it starts with a little bit of worship and prayer, but then he begins to work on me. Any of you ever raised a toddler, you know what it's like to begin to wean them away from their security blanket, from their blankie. I still have a blankie, by the way. Had it since college. Still have it. Not sure I do. But you begin to wean him away. And Mitchell has this little lion that he has to begin to wean him away. Or there's the pacifier. There's these security blankets that we have. If I'm being honest, my relationship with my father doesn't look much different than the relationship that the toddler has with his kids or his parents. There's some security blankets that I want to hold on to. If I'm being honest, there's a lot of insecurities that are represented right now. Yep, I'm going to be honest with you. I deal with a lot of insecurities in my life. But I've found that when I hand my insecurities over to God, the more I hand over to him, the more secure I am in him. The more he secures my place. I can pretend on the outside that I got it all together spiritually, but quite frankly, there are many times where I am completely clueless. That's one of the reasons why on Sunday morning I get up so early and get here, because I know for a fact that if I don't get a hold of God, no matter how much prep I've done, I don't get a hold of God today. I can't worry about the prep from yesterday. I want to get today's bread. So I got to get a hold of God today so that I'm able to bring the word of God before you. I found that when I surrender those things, those security blankets, I know this, that God doesn't make me do them all at once. I'm grateful for that. He works on me one thing at a time. How many are grateful for that? I get a lot of inspiration from the great saints of history who shared how they fearfully were sitting in his presence and they were surrendering their insecurities. When they get along with God, God begins to work on them. But there's a lot of times where I don't want to get along with God because he might make me forgive that person. He might remind me that I'm harboring bitterness towards a situation. Or I don't want to get along with God because he might make me give a little more financially in the next offering. I don't want to get along with God because he might make me sign up to lay eggs at the Easter egg hunt. Yeah, I'm going to lay commercials in throughout the entire series. Absolutely. There's a person that we should help, but we don't want to. There's an inconvenience that might come our way. If we're listening to the Lord, if we're alone with God, and by the way, you can be alone with God in a room full of people too. Just be listening to the Lord. We get alone with God, he'll begin to speak to you and show you situations where, yeah, he might even lead you into something that's super inconvenient. I went on a motorcycle ride, I don't know where it was, last week sometime, and I was just going to go clear my head for a couple hours, and I went to Starbucks to grab a quick coffee before I went on my ride, and I didn't want to be bothered by anybody. I was already in the mode, you know. Us guys, we got our boxes. I was in the box already. I got my iced tea, and I'm standing out there, and I heard this crash. I look over, and there's three ladies, and they got out of their whatever kind of car it was, little short, little low car, and they had backed out, and their underside of the front of their car ripped completely off on the, what do they call that concrete thing? That thing, whatever the thing, curb stopper. Gobstopper, I don't know, make a name up, whatever that thing's called. It ripped out. And I looked and they were like, oh, and they were trying to mess with it. They're all messing with it. One lady's looking in her trunk for tools and all that. And I'm totally dealing with it right now. I'm going, I have plans right now. I don't even have tools on my bike. There's no tool. Which, let me know, I need to buy some tools for my bike. Anyway, permission, thank you. I got it publicly. But I didn't have any tools, so I was like, so there was this thing, and you guys know what I'm talking about. I was being inconvenienced. I knew I was being inconvenienced, but here was my chance. I can help. I could respond to a need, Heather. Here's a need. Now I can respond to it. I'm going to listen to your message last week. I'd listened last week. And so actually I turned to a gentleman that was standing there. I said, hey, do you happen to have any tools on you? He goes, yeah, I do. I said, can you bring me a wrench, something? Because there's one screw left. That had to pull this thing off just so they could go back to work. And he brings me over a wrench, and I crawl down, pull my jacket off, lay down on the ground. It was hot. I'm trying to make this like you could feel bad for me. It was hot. I was feeling real sacrificial. And come on, bless me, come on. Anyway, So I started to unscrew the thing, and they were like, oh, this is amazing. And I was, you know, I was unscrewing it. And this gentleman that was standing there with the three ladies, he goes, you know, this guy's a pastor, right? Now, it's a long story. He found out I was a pastor earlier in the conversation. But anyway, he said, you know, he's a pastor, right? And the one lady goes, well, no wonder he's so nice. And I said, man, I think I was nice before Jesus, but I'm grateful that he's made me nicer. It was definitely not convenient. I was being inconvenienced. It was, and guess what, by the way, for those of you that know me real well, it was dealing with tools. So there was dealing with insecurity. I'm a little more handy than I like to pretend, but anyway, I was dealing with insecurities. I was dealing with being inconvenienced. Sometimes we've got to swallow our pride. We get in the presence of God, and he makes us swallow our pride. We have to let some things go. All I know is the more I'm alone with God, the more I surrender security, my insecurities to the Lord, the more secure I feel in him. So it starts with surrendering my life to Jesus. Amen? The second thing to remember, this is huge. I am never alone. I am never alone. So let me throw out this next line. You can write it down. Loneliness is a lie. Let me prove it to you in Scripture. I am never alone. Now, I'm not talking about the feeling of loneliness. I'm not talking about you're in a room and nobody's around, and you, that's loneliness in and of itself. But loneliness is a lie, according to the Scriptures. The trouble with some people who are afraid to be alone with God is that they can feel, when they feel alone, you know, even in a crowd. I've talked to busy people, people who are in relationships, people who are very active socially, and despite the fact that they, you know, live their life out in a crowd of people, they still feel alone from time to time. That's because the only one who can truly take away our feeling of aloneness is God. You are not alone. You are never alone. Jesus understood this principle. Here's what he said. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on out ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Listen, because Jesus understood what it was like to be in a crowd, he was comfortable in a crowd, but he knew that if he didn't get alone with God and get his battery charged up with God and spend time with the Father, that he wouldn't have anything to give the crowd the next time he was with the crowd. His assurance was indeed, if he got alone with God, that God would fill him up. Sometimes there's even, I'll tell you another area we can get lonely. Lonely when we have to make tough decisions. It's a very lonely feeling sometimes to make very difficult decisions. Like if you've had to make a decision to put maybe a father or a mother into a nursing facility. It's a lonely feeling. It's a lonely decision. I remember my wife came home from work one day, and her coworker who didn't know the Lord at all came in one morning there at Kaiser, and they had cubicles next to each other, and he was obviously upset, and he went to my wife, which was wonderful because he knew where to go to, but he had just put his mother into a home, and he was feeling very defeated and very alone and very discouraged, and my wife was able to minister to him. It's a very lonely feeling. Or you take a new job and you move to a different company and you don't know anybody. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I remember when I moved from San Diego to Merced, California. Nothing there but cow poop and cowboys. And I didn't fit into any of that crowd. I bought boots eventually, but, you know, because I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to fit in with somebody. But I know that was a very lonely feeling. I got up there trying to fit in. And you're trying to fit in. You do like Heather talked about last week. You try and imitate the people around you, thinking that's the way to fit in. But God wants you. And you're never alone. He's right there with you. The Scripture says in Isaiah, whether you turn to your right or your left, your ears will hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. See, God's right there the whole time trying to speak to us. If we'll just slow down and listen, he'll speak to us and he'll lead us into truth. Sometimes we feel like we're facing financial or emotional giants ahead of us. And we embrace being alone with God. We know that when we do that, we're indeed not alone. And we can get encouragement from God and from his word. Here's what he says in Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Look at this next line. For the Lord your God will be with you. Whatever you do, wherever you go. So do not fear, he says, "For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Even when in the natural it seems like we should be tied up in knots, spinning all night long in our bed, worried about our bills, we need to get along with God. And guess what? He's up working on what you're up worrying about. God works the night shift. You know that. So you don't have to. He's working on your issues. And we'll spin ourselves into situations. And know this. He says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Thank you, God, for your presence that's promised that you can give me a rest. Even when in the natural it seems like that I should be tied up, I should know that his presence is with me. I'm never alone. No matter where we are in this world, Jesus tells his disciples, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. He will never leave you." Look at that. He is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. Let me tell you about the loneliest night of my life. Probably a lot of reasons, probably other times where I felt super lonely. But the loneliest night of my life was New Year's Eve, 1984, 3-4. New Year's Eve, you get it? 3-4. The family that I was living, I moved to a new city. I was living with a family. I knew no one, zero. The only people I knew with, I was living with. They all decided to leave and go to New Mexico for family for Christmas time for 4 weeks, leaving me behind to watch their 5,000 square foot home with propane and a poodle. And the propane wore out about week two. So I got to cuddle with the poodle. It was freezing cold. New Year's Eve, 1984, it was freezing cold out in the Central Valley, way north of town, out in the middle of nowhere. Literally no one around. The closest thing was a dairy. It was close enough to smell, but I couldn't see it. Anyway, it was right down the road. I'm sitting up. Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve is on the TV, and it's just not doing it for me. I was seriously alone. I had zero friends. The only friends I had were nowhere to be found. They were all in another state. My parents lived north. I had a moped. Couldn't get on my moped and drive 2.5 hours north on Highway 99. This wasn't going to happen. Super alone, super discouraged. Midnight hits, the ball drops. I looked at the poodle. Nothing was doing it. I grabbed my guitar out. That's my security blanket. Grab my guitar, start to play, and I start playing. It was super sad. Am I painting the right picture? Because this is exactly how it happened. And I'm playing the thing, and I hit three bad notes as I was playing it. And I just thought, this is so pathetic. And I was sitting there doing that thing where now all of a sudden you're feeling alone, and now you're thinking about how alone you are and how there's no reason for you to be alone and nobody's calling you and nobody ever calls me and nobody cares. And even my parents, it's New Year's and where are they at? They're sleeping. They were already asleep, guaranteed. And I was feeling alone. And I remember just that sense that, first of all, the two things that my heart said that night. One, I was never going to do that again. I didn't want to spend it alone. I was going to make sure that if I had to spend it alone, I'd find somebody else that had to spend it alone, and I'd spend it with them. I decided that. But the other thing is that I realized in that night was, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, "Am I enough for you?" And the answer is, at that time, the answer was no. He wasn't. And quite frankly, about the next couple of weeks, as the weeks planned on, that's when my whole world, I began to choose bad things and began to go down the wrong life of partying and doing all kinds of crazy stuff for a couple of years. But it was from that night. And I thought to myself, how can I, I'm going into this a lot more than I did in the other two services. That's okay because we have time, right? I'm almost done. But I started to fill my life up because of that feeling of loneliness. I started filling it up with other things. I just started discovering where the parties were and the people who were leading the parties. And I became best friends with the party leaders. And then I became one of the party leaders. And it just got ugly. Because I began to fill my life, because of loneliness, I began to fill my life with other things. Here's what the scripture tells us about loneliness. He says he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But not only that, the love of God will always be there for you. If you feel alone, trust me, the love of God is right there for you. Here's what he says. For I'm convinced that neither death or life or angels or demons or present nor the future. The present. No propane and you got a poodle. You still don't have to feel alone. Nor powers, nor any height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some of you might be saying, okay, that sounds great. I got to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm never alone. But sometimes it's nice to have God with skin on. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I know the Holy Spirit's right here with me, but it's once in a while nice to get a good old attaboy and a pat on the back and a thank you and a little note and someone drop you an email or send you a quick text. I was thinking about you. Sometimes it's nice to have Jesus with skin on to show up. It's okay to sit quietly in the presence of God, but every once in a while, it's kind of nice if somebody else would sit with you and show up. I think it's important that we know this. Is there some place that the love of God has skin on it? Right here. Right here, church. It's one of the reasons why a lot of times we'll say this. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. We'll say this. Make sure you introduce yourself to somebody new. Because quite frankly, when somebody brand new shows up to our church, it's just like you showing up to my family reunion. Even if you were invited, you'd still feel like you'd stick out. We need to make sure that we show the love of God when people show up. And so it's a fair question to think about, well, isn't there someone with skin on? Isn't there some place where I can experience the love of God? Well, I guarantee you there's one place you can experience the love of God with skin on, and that's the third point, and that's serve the Lord. Find a place to serve God. Find a place to invest the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God's given you. The best relationships that I have, that I've ever made in my life, and many of them are in this room, but they're born out of relationship. The relationship is born out of ministry. It's born out of things that we've done together in ministry. Some of my greatest friendships are people that I've gone, to this day, people that I've gone on missions trips with and done ministry with and seen miracles with. Serving the Lord is a great antidote. And I'm not talking about staying busy for busy's sake. I'm talking about serving the Lord, offering your gifts, offering who you are to the Lord and letting Him work through you. I can tell you, if you put God first, if you listen, join a ministry team. Sign up for a place on the way out. If you do that, I guarantee you, God will meet your needs. He'll meet your needs that be around other people. You'll build relationships you could never imagine the relationship you might build. You might build relationships where all of a sudden you didn't know anybody, but because you got to serve, and next thing you know, now you're going to coffee with somebody. Now you're going to lunch with somebody. I'm free, by the way, today. That's serving the Lord together. That's the beginning. And the next thing you can do is this. Serve someone in need. I want the worship team to come. This really goes very great with what Pastor Heather had to say last week. Find a need and fill it. Find someone to serve. You want to fix your loneliness? Here's what I dare you to ever look at me real quick, because I know you're filling in the blanks. You want to fix your loneliness? Go find somebody who's lonely and be their miracle. Well, I'm all alone, Pastor. I don't know what I'm going to do. Leave here and go down to the Alpine, what's it called? View Lodge? The Alzheimer's home. I dare you. Leave here and go to a convalescent hospital. I dare you to go find somebody who's alone. You go meet their need. And listen, what you do for somebody else, God will do for you. Woo! Thank you. You reap. Yeah, you want to cure your loneliness? Cure somebody else. You be somebody else's miracle. The fear of being alone is obviously very real. The love of God will drive it away. How is the love of God drive it away? By us experiencing the love of God, but also by us giving it away. If somebody's lonely, go give them the love of God. I guarantee it'll come back to you 100-fold. God wants you to know you're not alone this morning. And you don't have to struggle with being alone. And you don't have to keep filling it up with stuff that's dysfunctional and doesn't really fit. There's only God can fit in that hole. So let Him fit in that hole. Amen? Stand with me this morning.